rise before you again this morning in the fear of God. May the Lord direct this morning as we take a look at a message in relation to the home. And I want to talk about relationships in the home. First of all, between a husband and wife and the responsibility to each other. I want to first of all look at the duties belonging to both alike. Now we know that back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, our Lord talks about a leaving, the word talks about a leaving and a cleaving. I'm going to just page over to that. You don't have to turn there. But it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. First principle that our Lord makes clear in the first marriage, that they are to live with each other. You must leave father and mother. You must be joined to your wife. You must be joined together. It's the first principle our Lord points out. That means when daughter leaves home, the apron strings dare not be attached. There have been many a wrecked home already because of parents not relating in a proper way. I'm not saying you may not give advice. And may I say this to young couples? When you go back home for advice, you go together. Go together. Be together in business decisions. Be together in seeking advice. 1 Peter 3, 7 talks about he must dwell with his wife. Even in 1 Corinthians 7:10, where the Apostle Paul talks about, I'm just going to turn to that verse. There's a lot of verses one could turn to this morning. We don't have time for that. That if possible, that even if they are an unbeliever, to dwell with them. The Apostle talks about that. It is better to stay together if possible. I know there are situations that is not possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. The apostle says, and unto the married I command yet, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. There are cases where that is the case in dysfunctional home settings. Secondly, they are to love each other. Colossians 3:19. This is both the husband's and the wife's duty to each other, to love each other. This love is not merely a romance love. It's deeper than that. But genuine in contrast, constant affection and care for each other, fervently with a pure heart, 1 Peter 1:22 says. Marital love cannot be based on beauty or wealth. For these things are passing, and not even on piety. For that may decay. It must be based upon God's command, which never changes. That love must be fervent. It must continue through the thick and the thin. Marital love must be durable and lasting even after death has parted the two, has severed the bond. True-hearted love brings true content and comfort. It guards against adultery and jealousy. We touched just a little bit on this last night in the thought of purity. It prevents a lot of family trouble when that kind of love is present in a marriage relationship. Without it, the marriage is like a bone out of joint. Unless we have that kind of bond. And there is pain when we break that there is pain until it is restored. Thirdly, the important thing in a marriage relationship is to stay faithful to each other. In 1 Corinthians, again, the Apostle Paul, in verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2, he says this: "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Staying faithful to each other. And only their own. The marriage covenant this morning binds you to your spouse as the dearest and the best in the world. When we deviate from that, it tears homes apart, tears marriages apart. Be careful to avoid the temptations of sin that will destroy. Remember what I said last night about sins on impurity? Think about the consequences of sin and the far-reaching effects that it has upon the rising generation. Faithfulness also involves keeping each other's secrets. Number four, I believe that we need to see the importance of helping each other. We need to be there for each other. Genesis 2:18, implying that they should both help each other, and they should carry three things together. Number one, the aspect of work. The wife is to be the keeper at home. You go to the New Testament for that. I want to briefly touch these points, so I'm not going to turn back there. The man needs to be the breadwinner, needs to work, but you also need to help at home when you are home. Husbands, even though you may be away many hours, you need to have value, quality time when you are home. It's not a time when you ignore the family, ignore the children, ignore your wife even, and you sit behind your computer all evening. That has been the destruction of many homes. Secondly, the crosses that you may face. You know, the honeymoon's over and the rubber meets the road. It's not all pleasure. It's not all easy. No, it's not. 1 Corinthians 7:28. I'm still there. I'm going to turn to that. The apostle says, "But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short." And it is. And how many have destroyed their homes by not bearing the crosses together. Thirdly, is in 1 Peter 3:7, is their commitment to Christ. Live as being heirs together of the grace of life. Is the highest end of marriage is to promote each other's eternal happiness. When a husband is home, you need to see your responsibility in making quality time and picking up the teaching and training of the children. Your wife will need to do that when you're gone. But in your husband's absence, to our sisters, you must carry these responsibilities on. Number five, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Chapter 5, 31 and 32, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself." and the wife she that she reverence her husband.
Number 5, be patient with each other. Be patient with each other.
There are many temptations in marriage to become impatient. Sometimes we men become impatient.
Learn to hold your peace to keep the peace. Learn not to be quick-tongued.
I think perhaps men need more admonition in that line.
We should never have to raise your voice at your wife. It's out of order. It's wrong.
You are not two angels, you're human beings. But acknowledge your faults. When you fail, acknowledge your faults and tell them you're sorry. And then change. Confess them all to God and to each other.
Number 6, saving each other. 1 Corinthians 7:16
insinuates that our great duty is to promote the salvation of our spouse.
Again, the Apostle Paul speaks very clearly there. Both of you should inquire about your spiritual life. My wife will often ask me about my devotions. We will share together. Even though there's no children, family devotions continues. And I think it needs to. Your private devotions need to continue. Ask each other. Husbands, when you come home from work, if your wife asks you about your day's work and she asks you about temptations you may have faced today, and you tighten up, she has reason to be concerned. Let her know if you face some temptations that day. It'll help you to remain pure. It'll help you to remain victorious over them because you know that you're going to be asking each other. Speak often of God and speak of spiritual things. Speak of the scriptures together, be fellow pilgrims as we travel to that celestial city.
Number 7, maintaining purity in the home. Husbands and wives, we have that responsibility together. We talked about that somewhat last night in our purity message. But number 8, looking out for each other's interests in all things. One should not be rich while the other suffers want.
Advance each other's good reputation.
The husband naturally and rightly should be caring for the things that are for the betterment of his wife, of his spouse. Husbands should not be buying toys. You know the difference between an adult's toy and a child's toy is the price. There's needs in the family. There shouldn't be toys. And I'm not saying it's ever right to have for an adult to have lots of toys, what we call toys. If you come into my office, you will find a corner cabinet that is loaded with some collector tractors that were handed down to me from my wife's father. And I did keep them for that. But those kind of collections and things cost a lot of money when we go out to buy them. Should not be at the expense of the family. Or you will be held accountable to God someday for that. Number 9, praying for each other. 1 Peter 3:7 talks about that. Peter warns against their prayers being hindered. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. It'll be a hindrance to your prayers. Yes, it will. Pray for each other. Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. I believe we need to pray for everyone, but especially for our spouse. Husbands, pray for your wife. Wife, pray for your husband while he's at work.
Lust. You should not meet him on this earth again. Do you ever think about it? For some people, it's real. Someone who left home in the morning for work. Someone else loosened the shoelaces on his shoes before evening. Make sure in your leaving, departing from each other, treasure that. Make it a treasurable time. I want to notice particularly, just for a short moment, I want to talk directly to husbands. The special duty of a husband. Love is the foundation of all other duties toward her. Everything flows from this. And without love, every performance of duty toward her will seem very hard. And that love is not present. Tenderness, honor, care, and kindness are merely the beams from the sun of love. The dimensions of a godly husband, I want you to notice just for a moment. The love of a husband to his wife is particular. To this relation, it is distinct from parental love. The ground of it, you are married to her, and God commands husbands to love their wives. How? As yourself. But how? As Christ has loved the church. There's never a woman that would ever have to fear this morning to submit to a husband who loves you as Christ has loved the church. Husband, how has it been with you? What did Christ do for the church? He gave his life for the church. And the extent of it, you must love both her body and soul. The degrees of it, above his love for all others, you have chosen her, and her only have you chosen. And you shouldn't. There's no time for looking around elsewhere. She is yours. God has given her to you. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The duration of it should be always. Proverbs 5:19 quoted. Not only in public, but in private. Not for a week or a month or a year, but until death does part. You know, the world doesn't look at it like that. Sad to say that there's apostate settings. They don't look at it that way either anymore. You know, there's one thing I want to say in the beginning. God has established the first marriage, and that was male and female. Where is our world today? In gay marriages? It's going to be judged by God someday. The pattern, number two, the pattern of a godly husband. I mentioned already that Jesus Christ's love for the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Genuine without hypocrisy. Free without conditions. Before our expectations after. He gave himself to cleanse the church. Holy without impurity. Christ loved the church that he might sanctify and cleanse her. Great without comparison. Constant without change. Active without neglect. I believe that our love is going to be expressed in several different ways. Number three, the demonstrations of a godly husband's love. Number one, in word. You know, we can say everything right, and we can act everything right in public, but what are you at home? Is there turmoil and chaos at home? Is that what's there? I hope not. I hope not. Yes, we'll fail. We'll make mistakes, but can we go back and make it right? He teaches her. He dwells with her. He dwells with understanding. 1 Peter 3:7. He reproves her. Love will cover the multitude of sins, the multitude of mistakes. Two individuals get married together. There's different personalities that must blend together. He encourages her. Husbands, do we encourage our wives? Or do we expect to come home from work and we expect to be encouraged? You better think about that. He comforts her.
especially when she is hurting. She is the weaker vessel. Indeed,
he provides for her. He shows great tenderness to her. This is especially shown in his protection of her from dangers, from temptations along the way, from harm, reproach, contempt. His sympathy for her in troubles of times. You also hold the responsibility of being a good example to her. You grant her reasonable requests that she may have and have need of.
A husband should be anticipating her requests
and even be alert enough to give her before she may even ask, because you know what's needed. He trusts her domestic affairs, proverb writer tells us. Proverbs 31:11, the virtuous woman. You trust to give your wife the checkbook. Let her make some purchases. You exercise authority toward her. Remember, she is your wife. Now, I'd like to talk to our sisters a little bit now. Special duty of a wife. I know I'm covering a lot of ground here because I'd like to talk about parents' relationship to children this morning. The description of a godly wife. You will highly esteem your husband. You will honor your husband, both great and small. You esteemed him when you chose him as your husband, and you should continue to do so. You remember the story about Michael and David, Michael's disrespect for David? Love in marriage grows. Each year of time is a very precious time. Children all gone, it happens so soon. Children all married, the grandchildren come along. Grandparents' responsibility doesn't stop. You will love him. You will respect him. Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel left parents and friends and country entirely out of love for their husbands. Is that the kind of commitment that you have this morning, sisters? That you are willing to walk with him through wherever God may call him. And you will diligently please him. The pattern of a godly wife's respect, the church's respect for Christ. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:22. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to their own husbands. In everything. Her submission, your submission this morning, sisters, is to be like the church's ideal submission to Christ. In everything. In things great or small. Only when he requires what God forbids, what God requires, do you refuse submission. You may reason with him if the requests are unreasonable. Now, I know there are situations that there are children sometimes need to help make the decision, depending on the situation, where separation is necessary. I recognize that. But free, willing, and cheerful submission. But by your conversation, the husband may be won. Sarah's reverence was sincere to Abraham as she called her husband Lord. I believe that is an example for you this morning. It's the body's respect for the head. For the husband is the head of the wife, Ephesians 5:23. And I believe that this is the way the wife should honor her husband, second only to God. The demonstration of a godly wife's respect in word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. And I believe that in this verse, if you really respect your husband, it will show in what you say about him. It'll show in your tongue is the law of kindness, taken out of Proverbs 31. She speaks respectfully of him in his absence. Shouldn't be any other way. If it's a wicked woman, you will speak of him, you refer to him, as we hear in our society, as her husband, as a man, as the man. You will speak respectfully of him in his presence and beware of interrupting him while he is speaking or saying 10 words to his one. Silence commends a woman's wisdom more than a lot of speech. Using disrespectful words, strive for a gentle and quiet spirit. 1 Peter 3:4. Do not be afraid that this will make your husband worse, but trust in the wisdom of God. See how Rachel spoke rashly to Jacob? She said, "Give me children or I die." And you know what? After 2 children, she died. On the other hand, you have Abigail, who behaved herself very properly. Her husband was very rude, and David was coming to put an end to this. And Abigail stepped in the middle as an interceder. That was a wise woman and was raised to honor. That is why the husband and wife ought to agree never to shout at one another, never to raise your voice at one another. That is wrong. And that will destroy your home and destroy your children. You obey his direction and restraints. Sarah obeyed Abraham, and she is a worthy model this morning. When Abraham came and said, quickly, he said, make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. And she did it promptly. This company was here. And it was an urgent request. Do it. And she did it. Maybe your husband will have an urgent request sometime. Or maybe you had 10 other things that you were doing. And again, we husbands need to be careful that we are reasonable. Care for the house. Work at home. Keeping at home and taking care of household affairs is good and obedient to the word of God. Titus talks about that, being keepers at home. The woman's liberation today has wrecked many homes. The career woman has wrecked many homes today. And the world doesn't know anymore what a good home is. There's a lot of children on the streets that don't know who their father even is. You will make your husband's counsel. You will ask his counsel on things that you face as a wife. You will seek his advice. You will seek his counsel. And hear his reproofs. Rebekah did not send Jacob to her brother Laban without counseling with Isaac. Back in Genesis 27:46, Sarah would not discard Hagar, the servant, without counseling Abraham in Genesis 21:10. Counsel with each other. And lest I forget to say it later, that's also very important, to counsel with each other in raising children. Your children are going to soon learn whether to go to mom or whether to go to dad. If you're not together, they will learn very quickly which one to go to. Counsel together when it relates to the children. You will maintain a respectful and cheerful attitude at all times. She should try her best. Sisters, you need to try your best to make some of his delightful food. To make a delight. Express contentedness with what you have and not discontentment. Maybe you visit someone and they have their place just to the tops. And you come home and you start expressing discontentment about that old kitchen. The worn out flooring. You want to tear your husband down? It's a good way to do it. Be content with what you have. I want to move on very quickly up, touch some highlights in relating to children. Use the Word of God to lay the foundation for family relationships and child training. There's a lot of child training books out there. There's a lot of marriage books out there. I'll tell you, right here's the manual. It'll cover it all. I'm not saying you can't use other helps, but let's be careful. Let's keep it based on the Word of God. Number one, seek the Lord. Seek wisdom from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is the essence of the daily Christian walk and applies to child training as well as to any other area of life. God has the answers to all the child training questions you may have. And we need to be in communion with him. We need to spend time on our knees in behalf of our children. And lots of time talking to God. Lots of time spending in his word. What a more blessed thing to do for your children than they see you in the word. And they find you on your knees. And they hear you praying for them. Don't be ashamed of that. Your children ought to hear you. When I hear parents that never heard their parents, when I hear adults talking about it, never heard their parents pray for them, they missed something. They missed something. Say, Dan. Remember, God knit your children together so he knows them better than any child training expert. His advice is free. You don't have to pay anything for it. Throughout the day, when you are puzzled by your children's behavior, wondering just what you ought to do, and your children might embarrass you in public sometimes by something they do, don't lash out in rashness. But seek the Lord. Discuss it together as husband and wife. It's an overwhelming task that you have at your hands. Remember, your children are assets. They're not liabilities. You have an opportunity this morning, dear parents, if you have a right relationship with each other, to take these children and shape the future. Yes, you do. To shape the future. They are assets and not liabilities, and don't forget that. You know, when I hear parents, and I heard a mother recently say this, over something that happened, I don't know if it was at school anymore, she made this comment that my child would never do anything like that. When I hear that, my red flags go up. I'm going to repeat something that Harry's brother Jesse made one time, a comment that he made. He said this. He said, I don't care who we are, any of my children are made out of the same stuff that anybody else's are. And they have the capability of doing the same stuff. So when I hear parents say, my children would never do that, my flags go up. And I say, God help us. What an example that you can give to your children as they see you in the Word. Secondly, the Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse implies being proactive in teaching our children to walk in the ways of the Lord. Guiding them in the steps that they should take not just letting them go until they do something wrong and then come crashing in on it and correct them, but teaching them, training them. It's hard work, but by the wisdom of God, we can do it. We can do it.
If your day, mothers, if your day is filled with frustrations and you're struggling with attitudes, maybe you just ought to stop teaching for a while and go back to training. Learning can be such a joy this morning to them when they have been taught to quickly and completely obey with a joyful countenance. That is taught. The nature of children, they are born with that sinful nature. We must teach them to go right so that when they come to the years of accountability, that they will give their heart to the Lord. Now, I believe that this verse, there's no perfect parent, but I believe that this verse, if a child finally comes to the age where they have the free choice to choose which way they will go, and they choose the wrong way, they will stumble over that training, that what they were taught. That memory will never leave them. Choose activities to direct your children's day. Actively involve them in the workings of your household. Oh, at age 1 to 3 years old, they can do little things. Johnny, pick this up and put it over in the toy box. I believe children need to be taught to clean up their toys. I really believe they need to be. And you're away visiting, and you have a family, I think you need to teach your children to go back and pick up the toys. It's nothing more than polite to do that. Teach them to clean up. Teach them to put clothes in the dryer, whatever. Take out garbage as they assign them responsibilities. You don't have to have a farm to teach them responsibility. There's enough of household duties that you can teach them responsibility even if you just live in a house with a yard. You know, you can buy food cheaper than you can raise it in the garden, but I want to tell you there's some principles taught in the garden with children that won't be taught anywhere else. Now, my wife and I have a very small garden, but we don't have children to help anymore. We seem to be busy with other activities. But while raising a family, there are some principles taught in that garden that can't be taught anywhere else. These jobs, you make it interesting for your children, they will not become distasteful to your children. There are things that need to be done every day, and we'll reap the benefits in the years to come. And they will be thankful that their life wasn't all about playing. You need to concentrate on making work interesting. Teaching lessons as we go. You don't have to go off on some big vacation. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. To have fun with your family. You can have fun and interesting times when you work. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7. Make that real in your life. Teach it to your children as you work with them, as you relate to them. As you find yourselves involved in busy family life, it doesn't leave a lot of room for other activities. During your family raising years, they're very important years because the time comes very quickly when children are gone. I, along with every one of my siblings, all the children are married. All the children are gone.
Time moves on. Parents are gone. Time is but a vapor and quickly passes away.
Ask the Lord to give you ideas and show you how to direct your children's day. We try to teach the children to help with whatever we're doing, work or hobbies. And we can use these opportunities to talk about the Bible stories and the character traits. These are wonderful things to talk about with your children while you're doing things with them.
You might say, well, I don't have the patience for that. You better get the patience for that. You better ask the Lord for it. Will we struggle with that? But what a wonderful opportunity to let the Lord teach us more and more patience. We all have different personalities, but that's no excuse. Sometimes it's necessary, as the children get older, to work for somebody else other than dad. Gives them a new outlook in life, gives them a new experience to have to go away to work for the day. But the Lord can give you strength and patience to do it by the power of His Holy Spirit day by day. Just offer yourself as a living sacrifice.
Number four, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
I don't think we have to be out there on the street corners when we use the rod of reproof. We know where our world is headed in that. Children are not taught. They're not taught respect for authority. That's why we have nothing but disrespect today. Choose your children's activities and how long they are allowed to play without parental supervision, interaction, and supervision. Do you closely supervise them so that you can address issues of importance? Don't go away and just leave them to themselves unless they're of age. Fathers, we do well not to run off and go away when it's a job we just really don't like to do. You need to get in there and do it with them. That is very important. Children are too young of an age that are left there by themselves to try to get a lot of work done on the farm and whatever else it may be. I think back to 1 year of our family life when I served on two school boards and was also serving on a building committee. That was wrong. That was wrong. And my family suffered for it that year. And I think that same year we had a daughter getting married too. That was wrong. Yes, the church work needs to get done, but your families are very important. That's your first calling, your first responsibility. And that is the challenge that young ordained ministers face in going away. Children in school. I respect them when they need to say no to some appointments. For my wife and I, it's a little different. We go together. But when you have a family, you can't always do that. Number five, the scripture is clear in Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Children will get enough foolishness from being in the world. Do not encourage it in your home. It's bound in their heart. It is possible to have fun and laugh with your children without being foolish or silly. Enjoy God's unique and wonderful creation in appropriate ways, and teach your children to do likewise. Often children do not have the self-control to stop. Inappropriate behaviors must be corrected by us as parents, because it will produce disobedience. Do not do them a disservice, fathers and mothers, by tempting them further in that area. I remember being at the Media Bible School as a young man. Sometimes there was a family there as students. He is now a bishop in a conservative setting. But I remember his little child standing in the middle of a circle that I was a part of. And we were having fun. And the little child was too, and showing off. The father came, broke the circle, stepped in and took his child and left. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. Use the rod of correction in love, not in anger, not in frustration. You're going to drive the heart of your child far from you. When you use the rod of correction in frustration and anger, and that has been done many a time. Do not let rebellious behavior or discontent attitudes continue without its consequences, or you will have a reaping in your home that you don't want. Starts at a very young age. Make sure your children know how much you care, that they walk uprightly in the ways of the Lord and enjoy the blessings of submission and obedience to God. They will rest secure in that, let me tell you. They will find security in that. However, whenever you discipline your child, that child also needs to know that you love them and that you've done it out of love. They will rest secure when they know you will drop other activities, which means being very consistent to assure that they have the right spirit. Listen, dear ones, this morning. Inconsistency is one of the sure ways that you will drive the heart of your child from you. Be prepared for your children to disobey as they grow up. Little children. They will do it. And they're capable of doing anything under the sun. There's outside influences as they grow up that come into their life. Be aware when they come home from school and they start telling stories about something. Be aware. It's coming from a child. Don't take their sinful behavior personally and be offended, because they have a nature that needs to be bent toward right. You know, maybe sometimes when your child does something, let me give you this. Maybe sometimes when your child does something, maybe you need to look in the mirror at yourself. Maybe you need to look in the mirror of the Word of God. Am I what I should be? Number 6, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Work at it very hard and see that your children develop good character. You don't want it sarred by bad company. Even when your child is a teenager and they're at Bible school and Bible school is over, and all of a sudden, now we had more problem with that when Bible schools were more local, and they want to go home with a friend, but they've been away from home for 3 weeks. They need to come home. I know from experience. They need to come home. After being away 3 weeks. Look at a typical day to see if you can spot some of their bad company habits. These can be Christian or non-Christian children, or adults, or siblings. Closely supervise their time spent together. Adjust or discontinue time spent with other individuals. Closely supervising relations. Never underestimate the possibility of other people or things negatively influencing your children. It's one thing if it cannot be avoided, as with a family member. Or city billboards, they're going to see them when you're driving down the highway. Deal with these evil communications as soon as possible. Number 7. In 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. I need to bring this to a close. Again, mothers and fathers, we need to work at this together. We need to work at this together in bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ye fathers, one more admonition to you. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a temptation sometimes because we work long hours to make a living, try to pay the bills. To teach their children the ways of God and discipline them may mean giving up other activities. It's hard work. God didn't promise an easy road. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Begin each day with a smile. Teach your children to be thankful for all that you have. Thank God for them and the opportunity to teach them His word. Let them hear you cry out to God when you're facing the hard times of life, asking for the divine guidance of life. And if any of you as parents lack wisdom, ask it of God, and He'll give it to you liberally. Shall we pray?